KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies. It's 9 degrees above zero. You're looking for it to be cloudy this morning, partly cloudy this afternoon, a high around 20. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. Road conditions are improving a little bit. Parts of Interstate 80 now are in normal driving condition. The secondary roads, including Highway 71, Highway 183, and Highway 83, all those other roads in the immediate listening area are partially covered with snow. Further off to the southwest you go toward Villisca and Red Oak. The roadways there are in normal driving condition. Taking a look at the top state news story, authorities say two more children have died as a result of the December 21st fire at a Davenport mobile home park. Davenport Interim Fire Marshal Jim Morris said Wednesday that nine-month-old Isabella Smead and four-year-old Skylar Smead succumbed to injuries sustained in the fire at the Five Seasons mobile home park. They'd been taken to an Iowa City hospital for treatment. Authorities had already reported the fire deaths of the children's mother, 23-year-old Kelsey Klain, and two other children, Jaden Smead, who is five, and two-year-old Carson Smead, who is one of the victims. Officials say there was no working smoke detectors in the home. The cause of the fire remains under investigation. Chaplains who provide emotional support and spiritual guidance to police officers in western Iowa say they're looking for more members to better serve the community. The Council Bluffs Police Department Chaplain Corps met with police recruits last Friday to spread the word about the program and their need for more chaplains. Only three chaplains serve the department. Lieutenant Dan Flores is a chaplain officer, or offers, that is, the police department, support through non-denominational faith. Flores says a chaplain can help to notify a family when someone has died or hold a ceremony. Chaplain liaison Sergeant Jill Konotek says a member doesn't have to be an ordained minister or a certain faith to become a chaplain. Flores says the chaplains encourage anyone who can be there for others to contact them. The Glenwood Police Department reports one arrest and a few accidents occurred late last week and early this week. Last Friday, 20-year-old Brandon Vanetta of Farragut was arrested for public intoxication. His bond was set at $300. Just before noon on Friday, Glenwood police investigated an accident that caused a total of $2,750. Officials say 51-year-old Leslie Diane Hamilton of Glenwood was leaving an apartment complex parking lot for the Village Glen Apartments when the 2002 Pontiac Grand Am she was driving struck a retaining wall. The car then ran over a parking stop, pushing it into an adjacent yard. Witnesses told police Hamilton drove through the adjacent yard, leaving parts of her vehicle behind until she got back on the roadway. She then left the scene southbound on Locust Street in Glenwood. Officers stopped her vehicle and confronted Hamilton about the incident. They said the woman appeared to be confused and was shaking uncontrollably. Hamilton told police she had not been drinking, but the results of a preliminary breath test showed there was 0.056 on the device, or just under the legal limit to drive. Hamilton said there was ice on the windshield, so she couldn't see where she was going. She was cited for leaving the scene of a property damage accident. Late Sunday morning, Glenwood police investigated a property damage accident involving a vehicle traveling west on Fairview Drive. The 1999 Dodge Durango, driven by 42-year-old Barbara Evans Teeny of Glenwood, went out of control and began sliding on the snow-covered road. The SUV slid off the roadway and onto private property, where it struck mailboxes and became high-centered on a large decorative rock. Damage from the mishap amounted to $1,700. There were no injuries reported and no citations issued. And this past Tuesday night, a 2017 Chevy Equinox driven by 59-year-old Gloria Prindle and a 2003 Cadillac driven by 33-year-old Galen Late, both of Glenwood, collided at the intersection of North Walnut and 3rd Streets in Glenwood. There were no injuries. Officials said the Cadillac was northbound on North Walnut, while the SUV was eastbound on 3rd. Prindle didn't see the Cadillac and failed to yield the right-of-way. The SUV pulled into the intersection and was struck by the Cadillac, causing $2,500 damage. Again, no citations were issued. Well, the Iowa DNR suggests that you and your family spend New Year's Day by taking a first-day hike in one of 27 participating Iowa State parks. Hikers can expect to be surrounded by the quiet beauty of in nature and experience spectacular views, beautiful settings, and the cultural treasures offered by Iowa's state parks. All 50 states are hosting hikes as part of America's First Day Hikes initiative. In its seventh year now, the national event encourages everyone to celebrate the new year with a guided outdoor exploration. Last year, more than 1,200 people began the year in an Iowa State Park, hiking more than 1,100 total miles. In the listening area, first day hikes will take place at the following parks: Lewis and Clark, Prairie Rose, Springbrook, Green Valley, and as you heard during Heartbeat today, Lake Anita State Park, Viking Lake State Park, Waubonsie State Park, and Wilson Island State Recreation Area. The staff and volunteers will lead free guided first-day hikes in Iowa's 27 participating state parks. Some hikes will include wildlife viewing and hot beverages. The hikes will average 1 to 2 miles or longer, depending on the location. And you can find out more details at www.iowadnr.gov/first-day-hikes. There's a link to that and to the comprehensive national list of first-day hikes under the same story on the news page at kjan.com. Well, you're also invited to join Cass County Conservation staff at Atlantic's Chilburg Recreation Area, Lake No. 4, on Saturday, January 6th. The staff will be giving 10-minute presentations regarding the trumpeter swans every half hour beginning at 11 a.m. on that date, with the last one being at 2 p.m. You can celebrate 20 years of the trumpeter swans visiting Atlantic and 15 years of having this public event. There will also be time to view the swans through spotting scopes and witness random swan feeding sessions. Hot chocolate, cookies, grilled hot dogs, and other snacks will be provided free of charge, with donations being accepted for swan care. The Chilburg Recreation Area is located on the northwest edge of Atlantic. Lake No. 4 is on the north side of Highway 83. Now, if the weather is bad that day or the swans are not at the park, the program will be held instead at the Atlantic Public Library from noon until 1. That's again on January 6th, with a light lunch available. The event is sponsored by the Cass County Conservation Board, Atlantic Parks and Rec, the Iowa DNR, and the Atlantic Public Library. Well, Iowa cattle producers are putting in extra work to make sure their animals are well taken care of in this extreme cold. Radio Iowa's Pat Curtis reports.
David Trowbridge, president of the Iowa Cattlemen's Association, says the most important issue in keeping cattle comfortable when temperatures dip well below zero is supplying them with fresh water and plenty of feed and dry bedding.
As long as their hair coat is dry and not caked with mud and wet with water, they'll be able to handle the cold weather quite well.
Another challenge is keeping the cattle pens smooth and free of frozen material or chunks. Trowbridge oversees a 7,000-head cattle lot near Tabor in southwest Iowa's Fremont County. I'm Pat Curtis.
Carbon monoxide poisoning is a concern now with homes that are shut up tight against the winter cold. West Des Moines Fire Marshal Mike Witzel says warming your car up inside a garage is one thing that can expose you to carbon monoxide poisoning. He says it's not safe even if you have a garage door open.
Do not do that. Back the vehicle up, shut the garage, and let it run in the driveway if you need to.
He says warming the car up in the garage can allow odorless, colorless gas, carbon monoxide, to seep into your home, and that can create levels that can cause problems.
It's in your home at all times. It's just low enough levels that it may not be detected. The safest way and the best way to protect yourself from carbon monoxide is have a carbon monoxide detector on every level of your home.
He says the detector should be placed outside of sleeping rooms.
If it's just one level, you want to make sure that you put that carbon monoxide detector outside of where you spend your time sleeping, outside of the bedrooms. That's where you spend most of the day.
The detectors are readily available at various stores.
The carbon monoxide detectors that I feel are some of the most reliable or the best ones are the ones that have a digital readout that tells you the parts per million that it's registering.
Witzel says you should be sure your furnace has been properly tuned up and checked, and also never use a fireplace if you hadn't had maintenance done on the chimney to ensure it's safe. Also, don't run the kerosene heaters or gas heaters inside. Witzel says you should call the fire department or utility company if your detector goes off. There is a chance your detector may not be working, and he says you need to be aware of the symptoms.
If you're experiencing carbon monoxide symptoms, the dizziness, the tiredness, and your detector hasn't activated, you still need to do something about it.
He says in this case, you should call the fire department and have your home checked to be sure there isn't an issue. The news was brought to you this hour by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.